The following program is sponsored by Evangelical Life Ministries.
Welcome to Engaging Truth, the manifestation of God's Word in the lives of people around us. Join us each week as we explore the impact of His message of spiritual renewal. From the lesson of forgiveness forged in the crucible of divorce, to the message of salvation learned by an executioner from a condemned killer, to the gift of freedom found in the rescue of victims of human trafficking. This is God's Truth in Action.
Hello, listening audience. Welcome to today's Engaging Truth broadcast, where we bring the message of Christ to the nations in real practical ways. My name is Jeff Doria. I'm pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Thorndale, Texas, and I have with me a most excellent guest today, Scott Linebrink. It's fitting to interview Scott at this time of the year as we're entering another year of America's favorite pastime. And Scott had a solid career as a professional baseball player, pitching for several teams in the show. However, Scott is making an even greater impact in godly ways as he focuses on the intersection of faithfulness to God and service to others. So we'll hear more about his mission work as well as encouraging other people and how he is living out his life. So without further ado, welcome, Scott. It's good to have you with us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
Fantastic. Well, for our listening audience that doesn't know who you are, why don't you give us a little background and on your maybe some of those milestones of your life that helped get you where you are today?
Sure thing. Well, so I was raised in the Lutheran Church, grew up right here in Austin, and baptized and confirmed at Our Savior Lutheran, and had a firm foundation in the faith. I went off to school at Concordia. And then I went on to pursue my baseball career at Texas State. And from Texas State there, I got drafted to play baseball, professional baseball, and didn't know if that was just for a season or how long that would last. And it ended up becoming a 15-year career. Took me from the West Coast to the East Coast, Midwest, played for seven different organizations, and served primarily as a relief pitcher. Coming in the later innings of the game and trying to shut things down. A lot of times coming in with, chaos, runners on base, trying to. That was a lot of fun. But all things come to an end. And so my baseball career came to an end about 12, 13 years ago, and went back to school and finished my degree at Concordia. And then from there, embarked on a second career working at Water Mission, which is where I serve today. And we're a Christian engineering organization that brings safe water and the gospel to people in need.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I'd love to, we're going to talk more about that, and building up to it. So you had a career as a ball player. Now you're doing mission work. During your time of career, during your time as a ball player, did you ever see yourself doing things like this?
To be honest, Jeff, I didn't see myself being a ball player. I think that was a surprise right from the start. I'd always loved baseball, grew up, but I was one of those undersized kids that really didn't think that I had a much of a future past high school, much less in professional baseball. So I think it was really kind of a surprise for me. With each level that I embarked on, it was, kind of a surprise to me. But I just thought that I would try to pursue this as long as I possibly could. And it was really surprising to see in retrospect, looking back on a 15-year career. But as you said, too, probably also surprising the work that I've done now. And really what I see is just how God has shaped a story in my life that I never could have anticipated. And I think about Ephesians 3:20, how he can do exceedingly more than we can ask or think or imagine. That's really the story of my life. I never could have imagined this, but I'm grateful for the experiences, and it's easy for me to turn the credit back to God, because I think, this is not something that I could have conjured up on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would suspect that during baseball, you have a lot of teamwork, but you also have to depend on guys in their own individual gifts and things like that, and a lot of strategy that goes on. Were there things during your baseball career that helped prepare you, things that you learned or experienced, even just playing baseball, but actually helped prepare you for the mission work that you're doing today?
Absolutely. I like to think that God uses each step in our lives to prepare us for the next. And you may wonder, well, how did a career in professional baseball prepare you for a career in the mission field? First of all, a lot of the work that I do is highly relational. And I've shared the work of Water Mission with a lot of guys that I have played with and against, guys across professional sports, not just baseball. And I think there's a lot of guys out there that they have a platform. They want to do something good beyond just be a good baseball player. And this provides a great opportunity for them to get engaged in something that's really having an immediate impact on people, as well as a long-term eternal impact. So I think that the relational aspect, you know, definitely was something that God used. He gave me some unique relationships that I am now leveraging for the kingdom. And and also, you know, there's a lot of things related to discipline, you know, trying to set goals and reach goals, you know, all of that, I think has served me well too, as I've gotten beyond the baseball field. But yeah, I'm learning too. I think you have to be highly adaptable as a baseball player. You know, we play in a lot of different, you know, the dimensions of the game are the same, but, you know, each place you go presents a little bit different environment. And so you have to be able to adapt and adjust, and especially then getting traded to different teams, putting on different uniforms, even playing in different roles. You have to be an adaptable person. And so I think that that adaptability is, has really served me well, too, in traveling all over the world.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you... your Water Missions, you, for those of you that are tuning in and only hearing this on the radio and not seeing any video feed, right behind Scott on his wall, he's got an Adam Wainwright jersey in one frame, and then in another frame, a picture of a little child drinking water out of a faucet. And so this is really your two careers, if you will, the two loves there of your life outside of your family. And so I'd like to talk about that, Water Missions. And can you start to kind of give us an idea, give people an idea of what it is, where is it happening, what the purpose is?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a Christian engineering nonprofit. We're based out of Charleston, South Carolina, but we have offices in 8 countries besides the United States around the world. And really, our vision is that all people would have access to safe water and an opportunity to hear of God's love for them. That's really what we boil our work down to. It was started by a couple, George and Molly Green, and I met George and Molly about 10 years ago, and we're just really taken aback by the passion that they pursued this calling from God. They had a very successful engineering firm before they started Water Mission. And it was really in response to a disaster that they heard about in Honduras that they thought that they might be able to help with some issues related to water. And so George set out to build a small water filtration system that he could take down to Honduras and could help small rural communities that had been cut off by this hurricane. And this system that he built can filter 10,000 gallons of water per day, can take any kind of water source and make it completely potable to drink. And when they saw this work so well, they thought, well, maybe this is the start of something bigger. And it was. God had big plans for them. And so he turned this into a worldwide global organization that is now not only serving in Honduras, but in 8 countries, as I mentioned, across Latin America, Southeast Africa, Indonesia. We have a disaster response arm where we're going into places affected by disasters. We're also helping in the refugee context. So in large populations of refugee settlements where they don't have a lot of basic needs, we're coming in and we're putting in some very sophisticated long-term permanent equipment, pumps, pipes, solar panels, and really the same kind of system that you might see in a rural setting in America. But we take a very serious outlook on our work, and we want to provide the same kind of water that we would expect here in the United States for people all around the world. We've served about 8 million people to date in the 20-year history of the organization, too.
Wow, 8 million! Wow, well, that's fantastic, and that kind of gift is going to just continue on. We take water for granted. We don't think much about it at all. You know, just turn on the faucet and we, you know, jump in the shower, whatever. And here there's people that just don't have it and you're getting it to them. So, well, that's marvelous. So that many people in 20-year history, okay, are there, I'm going to assume that because you're in different countries, different continents even, you're facing a lot of different cultures. And there's a lot of different cultures. So how does one navigate that? Like, what kind of teams are you developing? Or what is it that it takes to kind of bounce between cultures like that?
Yeah, that's very astute of you, Jeff. You know, if it was just about the engineering, it would be easy. You know, there's a system of how these water systems get put together. And if we put them together, they work. The variable that you introduce that often gets in the way of a finely tuned operation is people. And so sometimes it is difficult to work with people, different cultures, languages. And so we come in and we're trying to convince them of doing something that they've never done before. And a lot of people think that, you know, why can't I just get water from the creek? We've been doing that for generations. They don't put the link between the health issues that they have with the water that they drink. And so there's a lot of education, a lot of trust building, relationship building before we ever do any improvements to infrastructure. So it is definitely a process. Probably 2/3 of a project when we come in is spent just in community development, just in teaching and training. Again, you know, garnering the trust of the local community and then letting them see that we're there to help them improve their situation. And if they will allow us to teach and train them and build the system, then it's going to have dramatic impact mm-hmm. on not just their health, but the education system, the economy. You know, that's the cool thing about water and sanitation is if you can fix something that foundational, you can really provide a foundation for so many other social initiatives.
Yeah. And then as you're building those relationships, spending time on that, developing the trust factor, I would assume that's where a lot of the gospel message can weave its way in as you're getting to know the people and sharing what you're doing and why. So is that kind of where the gospel works or, you know, develops, or do you have another kind of plan to bring the gospel to people?
That's exactly right, Jeff. So we actually have dedicated staff that are focused on what we call our Living Water Program. So that is anything related to gospel outreach. And we work in a variety of contexts, but we help to mobilize the local church. We bring people together. We talk about the gospel. We have leadership training. We have marriage seminars. We hand out curriculum. So basically everything that we're doing is meant to empower that local church. We're not trying to plant churches because we're there for months at a time, but we're not going to have a permanent presence there. So whatever we can do to elevate and equip that local church to then go out and make disciples and be the spiritual care in that community, that's what's going to benefit the church long term. So that's where we see our role. But we also have opportunities every day with our staff interacting with people. I get opportunities whenever I go into the field. I'll tell you a quick story. One of my first experiences was in Honduras, and we were building a latrine. And this gentleman walked up and he started asking me a bunch of questions. You know, where was I from? What were we doing? How does this building work? And so I'm explaining all these things. And he finally looks at me and he says, "Why would you come down here from the United States? You know, you guys have everything that you need up there. Why? What would possess you to come here? You know, what's in it for you?" kind of thing. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know what to tell you other than I'm here because Jesus loves me and I want you to know that he loves you too. And it was something in that statement, but not just in that statement. I think it was in the deed, the fact that we were there, the fact that we were working to help improve his situation, along with that word of encouragement that I think just really resonated with him. Yeah. And I thought to myself, you know, this is how it's really supposed to work. This is how Jesus did it. Jesus touched people. He healed them. He gave them an opportunity to hear God's love. And then he sent them on their way with a message of hope. But he really met them at their most basic need.
That's cool. That's a great story. Well, I'm going to take a little commercial break here. And then when we come back, I'd love for you to share, you know, a little joy and struggle of your mission work, but also tell us a little bit about your Get in the Game podcast too. So if you don't mind, but thanks again to our listening audience for tuning in to Engaging Truth. Part of ELM Houston, Evangelical Life Ministries is a group of volunteers providing Christ-centered information and hope for people throughout the world in many different countries. We thank you for your support, and we pray that today's broadcast is beneficial for you. If you so choose, there are three ways you can support us. You can pray for us first and foremost. We are truly strengthened by God who listens to your prayers. And you can financially support us. You can donate online at our website at elmhouston.org, or you can write a check to ELM P.O. Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410. You can share this message with others also as a third way of helping us out. Tell them what you heard about Scott's work with different, you know, with the water missions and the different cultures and nations around the world. And so now we return back to our interview with Scott. And so, Scott, is there, when you think about some successful stories, you know, some highlights, you've already shared one, perhaps something else has come to your mind, some of the joys, or even if you have maybe one of the big struggles that you faced doing this work, we'd love to hear something like that.
Well, I can tell you, since you pointed out this picture right over my left shoulder, I think I could tell you a pretty cool story about that. This picture is actually from Tanzania. And when I first went to work for Water Mission, we were trying to serve a large refugee population that had come across the border from Burundi. They were experiencing a lot of religious and personal persecution. A lot of them had been through some terrible circumstances, lost family members. They had to get to a safe place. And so they're crossing the African wilderness for days. A lot of them were picked up by UN buses and then taken to this refugee camp. And it basically was nothing more than an open field out in the middle of nowhere. There was no infrastructure. They were putting up very rudimentary tents. They were trucking water in that was not safe to drink. And so really some terrible circumstances. We heard about this. We were actually contacted by the UN because there was so much money being spent on transporting water. They said, we have to talk to someone that can help us with another solution. We need to somehow get a solution on site. So Water Mission came in and we saw right away that there was a water source nearby, but it was not safe to drink. But we could pump that water out of the stream and through our filtration systems into some storage tanks. And then we were going to develop a pipe network that went throughout the camp and provided access points throughout the camp to 50,000 people. The magnitude of this project was monumental, and it would have taken a lot of equipment, a lot of budget that we did not have because this literally just fell in our lap. And Water Mission, I really love the way Water Mission is so devoted to prayer. And when they make major decisions, they stop and they pray. And that goes from the leaders on down. And so they prayed about what to do here. And we decided that we needed to act. And so we moved forward with sending equipment and sending staff to implement these systems, not knowing how it was going to be paid for. And so on the back end, guys like me were having to go around and tell the story of what we were doing. And there was some people immediately that heard about what we were doing that said, this is a fantastic effort. We want to be a part of it. How can we help? And just seeing the outpouring of generosity, seeing people that jumped on board at getting involved in this was really just, it was overwhelming. And to be, you know, just a small piece in the middle of this, making introductions, telling stories, and seeing people's hearts changed and moved to the point of actually making an investment was really just something special for me to behold. And so actually this whole project came together in a matter of 17 days from the time we got the equipment on the ground. Wow. Until we got the system up and running, serving over 55,000 people. And now to see where that has become, that was basically just the initial step. Another large corporation saw the work that we did and said, what would it take to provide a permanent system? So that these people can have access moving forward. And so they basically wrote the check so that we could do that. This has been a multi-year project, but again, a great, great demonstration of our capabilities and how, you know, we just look for opportunities that God puts in front of us.
Yeah, well, that's a great story from Tanzania. So that little boy, that's a great, and a great picture too. So, well, that's fantastic. Well, we have just a couple minutes left. I wanted to let you spotlight the Get in the Game podcast. I was checking that out the other day and listened to a podcast that you put on there, and it was great. So I wanted to find out how long you've been doing that? What's the purpose? How long do you see that continuing?
Yeah, so that actually came out of COVID. I was sitting here at my desk wondering, well, what are we going to do if we can't get out and go talk to people? And somebody had the idea, why don't you call some of your baseball buddies and you can do a Zoom call? And I didn't even really know what a podcast was at the time, but I just kind of started it on my own. I called it Quarantine Questions. And Sports Spectrum actually saw this and said, hey, we like what you're doing there. Would you like to lead a podcast in our podcast network? And so they basically sponsored me. They do all the engineering. And we've been doing it now for a little over 3 years. Okay. But basically, the idea behind this podcast is, how do we get off the sidelines and get in the game? What does that look like from a real life perspective, from my perspective as an athlete? And a lot of the people that I talk to are athletes. So we tell stories from the baseball field or the football field. But then we also relate it back to our faith and how can we engage in the work that God's called us to do? And what does that look like, the difference between sitting on the sidelines and the difference between actually being in the game? Mm-hmm. So making your life count, breaking the tape kind of thing, doing everything that we can to live out the purpose that God has for us.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, so Water Mission and this Get in the Game podcast, there's two opportunities for our listening audience to get to know more. So I'm assuming there's websites. If they just do search for that, watermission.org, is it .org?
That's correct. Watermission.org. And then the podcast, you can go anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and just search Get in the Game with Scott Linebrink.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, sir, I would love to say a prayer for you. And we only have a couple of minutes left, so allow me to give a little prayer and we'll close out today. And in 60 seconds, though, do you have any final words that you'd like to share to your listening audience?
Well, I'll tease the audience with this. I'm actually working on a book right now, and I'm looking at the Fields of Life. Fields of Life is the name of the book, but it's really looking at stories from my life from the perspective of three different fields: the baseball field, the mission field, which we've talked about, and then I also introduced the olive field. So I live in Central Texas here, and I'm an olive farmer, and I've learned a lot just by being out in the olive grove and seeing the lessons play out. So I'm going to relate that back as well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. Well, I'm going to look forward to get that book. That'll be great. So, well, I've enjoyed conversing with you. We've only got about a minute and a half, so let me go ahead and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I give you great thanks for this time with Scott and certainly the interview and the many people that are listening to this. Lord, I thank you for the leading him in his baseball career and also guiding him then to do even greater work to touch lives of even more people in very powerful and fundamental ways. Lord, I pray for the whole organization, Water Mission, and ask that you bless them and continue to guide them as they are certainly making a powerful impact with the water across the globe. Continue to strengthen them all in faith and in love for one another. Bless their families and keep them safe from the evil one so that they can continue to do your work. We ask this all in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Well, Scott, to you and to all our listening audience, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of Engaging Truth. Be sure to join us each week at this time. To help support our ministry, contact Evangelical Life Ministries, Post Office Box 568, Cypress, Texas 77410, or visit our website at elmhouston.org, or find us on Facebook at Evangelical Life Ministries. Thank you.